Starting Tech News Weekly. In 3, 2, 1.
Hey, buddy, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by John Bub. How you doing, John?
Hey, Andrew, how's it going?
Going good, going good. The summer's almost over, guys.
It felt like it yesterday when it was barely 70 degrees outside.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the summer ending. For me,
you always hate the summer.
I do, because it's absolute misery to do a show.
You don't like doing shows, period, sometimes, I think.
I love doing shows. I just hate doing it when it's, you know, 100 degrees in here, and I got to run the air conditioner all day, and I have like an hour to turn it off, so it just, the highest that it'll get in here is like 88 degrees. So right now,
yeah,
it's 77.
Yeah.
So let's see what it hits today, and today's not an exceptionally hot day. But this is a show where we talk about the week's tech news. Things that are happening in technology, things that we're interested in, things that, you know, kind of happen to us in technology. It's not always the news. A lot of people have been wanting us to talk about Kodi recently. From the last show that we did, I guess we mentioned it, and I've been mentioning it on What the Tech a couple times about how I've sideloaded Kodi on my Kindle Fire. So maybe we could talk about that maybe next week or at the end of the show if you want to talk about that and how people could go about doing that.
It's easy. There's plenty of guides
okay.
out there.
Perfect. So we may be covering that at the end of the show. It's interesting, though. You know, the things that you say and things that people are like, wow, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know until you started doing it.
Yeah.
First time I had XBMC running on something, it was my Xbox, my original Xbox.
That was just a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. So that's the last time that I actually used it other than, you know, installing it on my... my Fire TV, and there's so much you could do on that, so we'll talk about the end of the show. But there is a lot of interesting stuff happening. Talking about hardware, Google is getting in the router business, a $200 on-hub. What is what they're calling? They're calling it the on-hub. It's $200. It's a router to fix the complicatedness of Wi-Fi. I know, John, you and I have both had discussions about this. You recently, you know, changed your router, and you were having some issues. I've had issues, you know, networking my entire house. Spencer just called me with a couple ideas that he has on how to extend his network throughout his house. It's not as easy as people think it is, right?
No, if you're talking about Wi-Fi in general, it can be complicated. I mean, people can it can be made to be really easy, especially with the passkey stuff. That can be made really easy with the Wi-Fi protected setup stuff, the WPS. In that sense, it can be made easy, but if you have a larger home, it can get a lot more complicated and more difficult. Even here, I'm in the same boat as you and Spencer are, where I'm at this point right now looking somehow to extend my wireless range.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure many of our viewers, they're going to say, well, you know what the proper fix is at? Run Ethernet all around your house. And that's true. And I've done that too.
Good luck doing that. I got a finished basement.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult for you to do
it. How am I supposed to do that without tearing out the drywall?
Well, for you, it's not an option. For me right now, it's not an option. I've run it through, you know, like what I've done actually, the way that we have everything happening here in this room, behind me, this is a closet. Mm-hmm. And on the corner over here, I've made a hole about, I want to say, this big. And I've dropped all the cables down to the basement where I have my server room. And that's how I've run everything out of the studio.
I'm going to try and show you something here.
Yeah,
I don't know if it'll work.
Okay.
I don't know if you can see.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I see it.
That's what I've done.
Yeah, so very similar. I've done exactly that, except I've gone, you know, down instead of across. But it's a pain in the butt, and most people will not do that. We'll do it, but most people do not want to do that. So for Google to kind of promise a quick and stable Wi-Fi connection built around an easy-to-use app, it's kind of promising, and it's really hopeful that somebody's doing
it right.
It's
got all the buzzwords that you would want. It's got 13 antennas, which six of which are 2.4 gigahertz, six are 5 gigahertz, and then they have one to monitor congestion. And it's AC1900, which provides Wi-Fi speeds of up to 1900 megabits per second, which is really, really up there. It's not the highest you can get, but it's right there at that point for $200. And it also supports smart Bluetooth devices, the Bluetooth Smart Ready devices.
So what are you going to connect to it? I'm curious, via Bluetooth, what would you connect?
Well, the Smart Ready stuff, as far as I understand it, is for helping to make connections between devices. Say you got a smartphone and you could turn on Bluetooth and it's like NFC, near field communication. They'll talk to each other automatically and help set you up on the Wi-Fi network.
This show, OnHub devices made in collaboration with TP-Link, which is a pretty known company in this business.
They are Chinese. They make a lot of cheap routers.
Yeah.
Some of them are decent.
Though, Google says that it will design more OnHub devices with other partners, including an Asus model, due later in the year. I wonder if that's going to be a lower-end device.
I doubt it.
You think it'll be a higher-end device?
Asus is a higher brand name, whereas TP-Link is not.
Interesting.
So TP-Link is going to be their entry-level OnHub, and Asus is going to probably be the premium version of the OnHub.
So you're talking about – so the entry-level is $199, and the premium will be –
It's got 13 antennas in it.
That's a lot. Isn't that a lot?
And it's got an app that you have to go along with it.
No, but how is that the entry-level? So what are they going to – the premium model, what is that going to
be the entry level? This is their bare minimum for providing something that's going to be less complicated, better Wi-Fi, and a better router all around. You can't do it for less than $200.
No, what I'm saying
is –
what
they're making.
Because this looks like a great device. I wonder what the higher-end model, the Asus model, for example, will have compared to this. We'll have more
It'll
antennas.
Probably have faster AC wireless speeds. Okay. It could be 3200 AC 3200, which a lot of premium routers that are $300 and up go for.
So Google aims to put the OnHub in the center of your living room, not hidden, not on the floor, not behind a closet to weaken the power. It's actually a very pretty device.
Here's the problem for you and me.
Yes,
is that we actually connect computers to a router.
Yes, we do.
If it's just wireless, you can plug it in anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? But if you actually want to connect a cable to a router, well, then that kind of limits where you put it. You're not going to run a whole bunch of cables to the middle of your living room.
But you still do need this. Are they saying that this device is going to pick up your existing router that you have? And
no, this is to replace your router, as far as I understand.
So you still need something connecting to it.
Yeah. I don't quite get the name of it being OnHub. I don't quite get that.
You know, people are not buying routers anymore, and I'll tell you why. Because the cable companies are now providing you with the router. Like Fios provides you
but
with the router.
Those are so bad.
You know what? It's good enough for most. I think for most people, they don't even know that it's bad. And by the way, you know what Time Warner's doing now? I don't know if I mentioned this to you. They charge you a $5 rental fee to have Wi-Fi access.
To have Wi-Fi access?
Yes. To have Wi-Fi access, it's a $5 fee. In layman's terms, what they're doing is they're charging you an extra $5 a month to give you the router. Not they have the built-in modem router.
Yeah.
So now what they're doing, they're saying, well, if you want Wi-Fi, it's $5 extra a month. So you end up with the Wi-Fi router instead of just a modem.
Yeah.
They're pretty much charging you $5 more to rent this device, which is crazy.
Comcast just gave me one about a month ago, back in July, middle of July, and I'm not totally thrilled with what they gave me. Now, I'm still using an Asus router with it, but even then, I'm still having issues.
Can you bypass it totally or no? You can't.
Well, I've got it running in bridge mode, but even in bridge mode, it still has issues between the modem, the router function, and my own router.
No, but can you replace their device?
Yeah. You can go out and buy your own modem.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Okay. Because
with
Fios,
people do.
Yeah, with Verizon, you really don't have that option. That's not a possibility. So you're going to have to put it in bridge mode. But listen, this is a great, this is a cool little device. I'm excited to see.
It's something I'd love to try.
Yeah. I'm excited to see Paul's review. I was thinking about pre-ordering. So yeah, you could get it on Amazon. You could get.
I'm really interested in what they'll do with the Asus version. So I'm assuming that'll be a premium version because TP-Link is an inexpensive brand.
Yeah.
If you look at all of their networking gear, it's priced much cheaper than Asus and other brands like Linksys.
By the way, right now this thing is probably sold out for pre-orders. It is available in the Google Store, TP-Link Store, Amazon Fries, Newegg, and Walmart. And it seems like they are all... well, actually, you could pre-order on Amazon. I'm sorry, on Walmart.com, so if you're interested. A cool little device. I'm curious to see what the actual real-world performance of this thing is.
Yeah. I mean, it's got 13 antennas in it, which is going to... That in itself is going to help.
Listen, we are a streaming world now. You know, the days where Wi-Fi connections didn't really have to be good do not cut it anymore. It has to be phenomenal nowadays because we're streaming Netflix, we're streaming Hulu, we're streaming sports. We're doing all of this content streaming via the internet, via Wi-Fi, where... you know, there's a lot of complication. Like in my house, I got thick walls. It's two layers of sheetrock on top of plaster. It's an old house.
So I've got my router in the basement here, and it's got to go up a floor and all the way over my entire house.
Yeah, I need to learn more about Wi-Fi extenders. Just those little devices you just plug in and you're done. I need to learn more about those.
The problem with those is that you're going to lose half your wireless output.
Yeah.
Period. Bar none.
Yeah, there's no way around it. The problem with
wireless extenders is that you're going to have your wireless bandwidth just in order to extend your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I got to look more into this. I kind of knew a lot about it, and then you forgot, and things get changed over time. John, you want to pick a story?
We were just talking about Time Warner Cable and Comcast, and... they just decided that they're going to launch a new platform, supposedly dubbed Watchable, which will be populated with non-exclusive, unlicensed original content that will stream to users using the Comcast and Xfinity X1 boxes.
Say that again. It's going to be unlicensed,
non-exclusive original content.
So, okay. So who is that?
Their content sharing partners are Vox and BuzzFeed, which they just bought for a lot of money, as well as other producers, including Awesomeness TV, Refinery 29, The Onion, Mac and Vice, and a few others.
Where are we on that list? Where's GFQ?
Don't know. They never approached us.
You know what? It's all that Comcast bashing you've done over the years. And you see how it gets you at the end?
I haven't bashed them that much. They did screw up my bill this month, though.
They
so.
Did. You know what? So it's not really rivaling YouTube in the sense. You know where it is?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It says it's supposed to rival Facebook or YouTube. How is this?
It's not going to rival it, but it's going to be a portal, a video portal for internet content. Stuff that you would normally go on your computer or iPhone and look at videos. They want to bring that experience to your TV.
Set-top box.
And your cable box.
Yeah, and that has not translated well over the last couple of years.
Quite frankly, I don't see this working very well because I'm not a fan of the Comcast X1 boxes. I don't know. I know they have several different versions of the X1 boxes. And just the simple one I have without the DVR is just absolutely awful, and I would never, ever, ever use it for something like this.
You know what's
just
interesting?
Just because it's such a bad box.
I think TiVo killed their streaming capabilities. So what TiVo would do, they had their own directory of like shows, and we were on there. We would get so many people that messaged me that would be like, "Hey, I watch you on TiVo."
Huh?
Yeah, it was actually fascinating to see that people actually watch on a set-top box like this, you know, not a traditional set-top box. But I'm telling you, most companies are going to start doing this now. I wouldn't be surprised if Time Warner Cable starts offering their own version.
Yeah, it's them finally realizing, oh, hey, we can take advantage of the internet and bring this internet content to our cable users.
Yeah.
Although I'm not necessarily sure that cable users really care about this content, at least from their cable box.
I don't think they are. You know, it's interesting. It definitely is a generational thing when it comes to content consumption via cable. My mother-in-law watches everything on cable. Like, anything that's on TV, she watches.
Mm-hmm.
And she watches less Netflix and Hulu than Justin and I. I mean, almost everything she watches is on-demand recorded programming from the cable company. So it's interesting to see. A lot of people are still not, you know, just watching Netflix and Hulu.
I mean, is this something that you would watch? Would you watch BuzzFeed on your cable TV?
Probably not.
I mean, but
what are they going to produce?
Sense in my mind.
What is BuzzFeed going to produce? You know, top 10 cutie pies, you know, of 2015. Like, is it going to be list? Like, I don't know what kind of video
content
they're
going to produce. I'm not a big fan of BuzzFeed or Vox.
Yeah, BuzzFeed videos. Let's see what they have. Watch this woman's incredible transformation for 11 hairstyles. Sorority deleted this recruitment video. Dad reacts to their girls getting catcalled. I mean, just like, you know, this is all stuff that most people are watching at work while they're not doing anything.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's content that is produced for consumption on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know that necessarily translates well to watching it from a cable box in your living room.
No, I don't think it does. And until they figure out how to translate it,
you know what it is. You know, even my dad uses his iPad for stuff like that. He doesn't necessarily watch that stuff on a TV. He uses his iPad for it.
And I guarantee he's watching it in front of the TV.
So let's move on to another story here.
Perfect.
I don't know if you heard, but Samsung has a new free trial program for iPhone owners.
Yes, I saw that.
It's basically going to give Apple smartphone owners a chance to try its new Galaxy Note 5 and Galaxy S6 Edge Plus for just $1 and for 30 days.
I mean, that's great, but I'm really curious on if you are thinking about getting a Samsung, by them giving you a 30-day trial, is it going to encourage you to leave? Like, I don't know if they're like, are they going to grab people by this, or are they just going to turn over people that already had decided that they were leaving? I mean, actually, John, maybe you would do this.
I would do it just for curiosity.
Yeah,
but I don't know that I'm a typical person.
Yeah, but maybe for you, I mean, you have an iPhone, and you may, for your next phone, you wouldn't mind trying this for a dollar for 30 days.
There's also a lot of people out there that have moved between Android and iPhone quite a bit. There are those people that, you know, every year or every 2 years, they switch back and forth between Android and iPhone.
I would love to meet those people, because I think that's bizarre.
And it's just, you know what, I think part of it comes down to is that people get fed up with one thing or another with their phone, whether it be the iPhone or whether it be an Android phone, and they decide to switch ecosystems and platforms. So they'll switch from an Android to an iPhone, or an iPhone to an Android, because they're so fed up with whatever it is that's aggravating them with that particular platform. And then, you know, another year or two goes by and they'll have the same situation where there's something with a device that they switched to that they decide, you know what, maybe I'll go back to the other platform that I was on and see if that's any better yet.
Yeah, I mean, I've never switched platforms. You know what? Before Android, do you know what I was on?
I switched from BlackBerry to iPhone, and that's about it.
Yeah. Do you know what I switched from? Well, no. I've been on three platforms. I was on the Palm OS, and I went to Windows Mobile, and then I went to Android, and I've stuck with Android ever since. And you know, I have an iPhone, but my everyday phone is always an Android phone. Mm-hmm. And I don't have really an urge to go and switch every time a new iPhone comes out. Doesn't matter for me. So maybe I am the minority. But I think the thing's going to be, how easy is it going to be to, okay, now that 30 days are over, what do you do now?
Right.
You know, like, that's the next thing that's going to be interesting.
Supposedly you get some sort of discount if you switch to the Samsung device.
After the 30 days?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
If you look at the page they actually set up, it says it alludes to something, you know, some sort of discount or some sort of reward for switching.
Yeah, interesting. I'd like to see how this does, and if they can this within a year or a couple of months.
T-Mobile does something similar with the iPhone already.
Yeah, what's theirs?
I don't remember exactly what it's called, but you can basically test drive the T-Mobile carrier, the network, with an iPhone and see if you like them. And for I forget what it is, if you have to pay a fee with them or not, but it's very similar to what Samsung is doing.
Hmm.
It's an interesting because it's quite a different shift than what we've seen in the past between manufacturers and carriers, where before we would never see a deal like this where you could, you know, test drive a network, a carrier, or a device for basically nothing.
Yeah, because think about it, right?
Several weeks.
Think about it. You may have coverage at the place that you're buying the phone. You may have coverage at your job, but you may not have coverage at home, or you may have coverage at home and you have no coverage at work. These are not things that you're going to know the day you go and you switch a carrier.
Right.
You won't know. I mean, your friend could come to your house and you could see how their phone is, but what are you going to do? You're going to seek out from people to see, like, oh, what carrier do you have? For me, there's no carrier that works in my house, in my neighborhood. It's the craziest thing ever. I have no answers to getting this resolved, but it is what it is for me. But the test driving thing works. Since we're talking about iPhones, I think this is an easy segue to the iPad Pro rumors that are coming out again. Every year around this time, we got these rumors about the iPad Pro and the Apple TV. Reports are coming out that it is looking for a September-October release. I'm sorry, it's going to enter mass production September and October. This is going to be a 12.9-inch tablet. The report claims Sharp will be the main supplier for the LCDs for this tablet, while Foxconn subsidiary General Interface Solutions, GIS, will provide the touch panels. Samsung Display and TPK will also be secondary suppliers for LCD assemblies and touch modules, according to this report. DigiTimes is reporting this, a Taiwanese company. We've seen the rumors for an iPad Pro.
John, how long now?
For a while now.
2 years?
And, you know, I was talking to Paul about this recently, and he's for the idea. He's for the idea of an iPad Pro doing more multitasking and things like that. Who's buying an iPad Pro? Who's the user base for this?
The only thing I can think of is business users and enterprises.
I mean, I guess what you're going to do is you're going to have the iPad Pro. You're going to have your set applications that you use daily for your job, and you're going to have a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
So why not get a Windows machine for a lot less?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how they market those things.
There's a few things that Apple has done, and there's a few devices that have been rumored for so long that at this point, I really don't care. The Apple TV is another, you know, one of those devices that have been rumored for so long and are so old at this point that who cares if they actually do this now?
Yeah,
it's like every year we expect, you know, a new Apple TV and the iPad Pro. And it never happens. So now if it does happen, do I care? Not really.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be targeting
enterprise.
I'm over enterprise.
At this point.
This device is definitely going to be targeting enterprise. And
it's almost a missed opportunity at this point where because they haven't done something in the time frame that people were expecting, people are now over it.
You know what, though? I said that yesterday with What the Tech, and I got a lot of feedback from people that say, no, man, I'm waiting. I can't wait to dump my old Apple TV. I can't wait for apps to open up. I can't wait for games to open up on this
thing. Those are for the people that generally use an Apple TV and already have one.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people that are expecting to get a new one.
Listen,
at this point, they've already gone ahead and bought an Apple Fire. They've already got a Amazon Fire TV.
Yeah, or they're just using whatever came with their smart TV.
Yeah,
you know, those days of needing one of these devices, it's less and less. Where every TV is a smart TV.
Rumors are Amazon's gearing up for a new generation of the Fire TV.
Yes, you don't have that in the notes, but what do you know about it?
there's been some rumors and some speculation based on the fact that Amazon has more or less stopped selling the new Fire TV. It said it was sold out, or I forget exactly what the word, it was unavailable, and they didn't know when it would be back in stock. And by that definition, that means that they're either pushing people to buy the refurbished version because they have so many of those that they just want to get rid of the stock, or they're gearing up for a new generation.
Interesting.
It's one of the two, but...
By the way,
It's been about a year since they launched the Fire TV Stick, and since it's been about a year since they did that, that's another indication that it could be gearing up again for a new generation of the Fire TV.
By the way, Apple TV sales have plummeted over the last couple months.
Yeah, Fire TV is actually in third place above the Apple TV.
Amazon took over Apple for third place, rising 16% in 2014. Roku, which sells a variety of boxes and sticks that connect your TV, is leading the U.S. market with 34% of market. And Google, I guess, you know what, though? They're counting the Chromecast here, and I don't think that's a fair comparison. So Amazon's in second place, and Apple's in fourth. Apple's in third. Interesting.
But Apple dropped to fourth.
Yeah, but I'm not going to count the Chromecast.
Okay,
because it's not really a anything, just beaming your screen. It's $20, so people like it. So that's interesting.
I still think the Fire TV is a great device, and if they have a new generation of that, I'm definitely interested in it.
Yeah. You want to go into a story?
I also want to talk about the iPhone rumors.
Yes,
there's more evidence that points to the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. Pre-orders kicking off on September 11th. There's a rumored event for Wednesday, September 9th, to unveil the new iPhone and possibly the iPad Pro that we were just talking about. This is according to a French wireless carrier that has apparently hinted that that the pre-order will begin on Friday, September 11th.
So pre-orders, there's going to be an event on September 9th. When was it last year? I think it was around the same time.
It was September. They usually have it around September, so.
Yeah.
According to a source who leaked an internal slide to Phone Arena, new iPhones should start shipping to customers and retail stores on September 18th, allowing Apple to take a full week's worth of pre-orders.
Huh.
So I'm definitely excited about the new iPhone because of all the rumors that I've seen, it supposedly will have an improved camera. It'll supposedly have improved chassis where it's going to be stronger, not as bendable as the previous version that a lot of people complained about, which is another reason why I did hold off on getting a new one. So I'm excited to see what they come up with the new iPhone.
I'm interested too. You know, I'll tell you something. I have used both the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, and the camera on the Plus is way better than the regular iPhone.
Yeah, I think it has image stabilization, whereas the 6 does not.
Yeah, it's very noticeable.
Image stabilization is a big feature.
So maybe what they're going to do is drop that camera in the iPhone 6S, and then the 6S Plus will get, you know, the bigger and better camera.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, interesting. Curious to see what they do with this. The last piece today, guys, is a very strange story that Google has spawned a new parent company called Alphabet. We didn't talk about this, so I want to talk about it. And Alphabet will split off side businesses into unique entities. So it is a holding company. Google has now become a holding company. Alphabet is the holding company for Google. And all their other businesses, like Nest, which doesn't fall under the Google umbrella, Google will still control search, maps, Android, YouTube, advertising will all remain under Google. Anything with Google will have Google. But things like Nest, Fiber, Google X Research Labs, Google Venture Capital investment firms are all going to become part of this Alphabet holding company.
Whomever is naming things over at Google is not doing a very good job.
Alphabet.
Alphabet, OnHub, the names just don't quite work for me.
Yeah, so this is an interesting spin for the company. This is an interesting, you know, this is them future-proofing.
I think it's a smart idea for Google because they have their hands in so many different things that it almost makes sense for them to do this because it kind of separates the two. There, you have Google and the core Google entities. Then you can have Alphabet with these other companies that don't necessarily fit into the Google core system, such as Calico, which is a medical research firm dedicated to extending human lifespans. I mean, does that really need to go under the Google umbrella, or should it be under a different holding company?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the interesting thing. So, I don't know. I this is them future-proofing themselves in the hopes that, God forbid, something happened to the Google brand, they're still okay. They've split things off, and they're
Decent idea. I just wish they came up with a better name.
So Fiber is not going to be under Google, which is bizarre because it's Google Fiber,
right? So they're going to rename it Alphabet Fiber.
They may rename it later on. Google X Research Labs and Google's venture. It's just ventures and capital investment firm. Interesting.
Apparently, BMW owns the domain alphabet.com.
They do. They do.
And they don't want to give it up from what I've heard. I don't know if they've resolved that yet, but that's a very interesting situation.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually. All right, guys. That's it for this week. Actually, no, you know what? Why don't we talk about how people could install Kodi before we end the show? And why they would want to install Kodi.
Why? Because it's a superior video player that you can put on your Fire TV.
Yeah, so it does
a whole lot of other stuff.
Personally, I use it for
my live TV, for my HD Home One Prime, and for accessing my media server to view videos. Because I have Plex Media's server, but in order to watch that on Amazon Fire TV, instead of paying $10 for the Plex app, I can just sideload Kodi and access it that way of the network.
And it makes it a lot easier. So what I have done with mine, I've installed Kodi, and
see, you use it differently than I do. Too.
I use it very differently than you do. I use it to watch some Japanese wrestling that I cannot get anywhere else. So I do that, but I've also sideloaded Google Chrome on my Fire TV. Do you update? Do you have Chrome on yours?
No.
You don't? Okay. So I was going to ask you if you updated, because I actually found a very good mouse and like a cursor app through the Amazon store that I use with my Amazon Fire TV that works really well. But if you're interested, take a look at what you could do with Kodi. There's a lot that you could do with Kodi, which we're not going to go into detail here. There's a lot of repositories.
Yeah, if you want more details on Kodi and other stuff that you can do with your Fire TV, there's a website that I normally go to for my Fire TV news, and it's aftvnews.com. And they have a whole bunch of guides and news on there and talks about the updates that you get and new applications. And it's a good site for information about Fire TV.
Yeah. So check it out. That's our tip this week. All right, guys. That's it for this week. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarin. You can follow John at Suncast. Where else? What else can people do, John?
That's pretty much it.
That's about it.
I've been doing some review and top moment videos for a TV show called Defiance. It airs every Friday night at 8 o'clock on Sci-Fi. It's a really freaking awesome show, and I really hope that they renew it for a fourth season. But I've been doing these
top moments and reviews
for my YouTube channel.
My dad is a big fan of Defiance, and he actually watches your videos on YouTube. He was looking up Defiance, and you came up, and he goes. John's on TV. So I thought that was really funny. Yeah, it's a great show. And I know Combs is a big fan of The Fiends too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those shows that if you love sci-fi, and if you, it's got a lot of like Battlestar Galactica type of theming to it. So if you liked Battlestar Galactica, definitely check out Defiance.
Awesome. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you all next week. Take care.